Today on 4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
We've just been talking the last few days about the anniversary of Cyclone Jasper and the appalling impact it's had on the lives of so many people. And you think, oh yeah, that's a year ago. Well, the pain goes on. I'll just read this from Saturday's Cairns Post. Hundreds of Cairns Northern Beaches residents remain displaced as they await repairs to their homes 1 year on from Jasper and the devastating floods. Based on insurance data from Suncorp and Sure, close to 90% of claims have been completed. But building works are either ongoing or yet to start. But further adding to the region's housing pressures, those properties not insured or underinsured are unlikely to return to the rent roll as investors feeling the financial pinch opted to sell. And it says here, numbers don't always tell the full story, with reports of residents still living in temporary accommodation, including tents, shelters and cabins. It says here, as you drive into the beach suburbs, you could think a cyclone had rolled through just weeks ago, with skip bins still outside many homes. And here's an example of some of the suffering. This is from today's Cairns Post. A year on from the devastation of Cyclone Jasper, a Holloway's beach couple's home has been reduced to a concrete slab and a well-maintained pool. Let's go to Machens. Here's a quote from Brett Hitchens, Machens Beach Community Association Vice President. Brett says, quote, people in older houses, the insurance companies say to them, we will put back what you had, but we won't pay for what needs to be done, says Brett Hitchens, Machens Beach Community Association Vice President. So as it said in Saturday's Cairns Post, there's still a heck of a lot of suffering on our northern beaches. I just put a call through to Martin Anton. Martin comes on our program from time to time over the years. He's Anton Demolitions and long-term Machens Beach resident. Martin, good morning. Good
morning, John.
Martin, just give me a bit of an idea of life at Machens Beach since a year ago.
Well, it's been, you know, it hasn't affected me, John, I'll say that from the outset, or our family as much as others. We've still got over $100,000 worth of damage here, mainly to council's easement drains which run through our property. And because a lot of those drains haven't been cleaned for 30 years, and that's a similar story all over Cairns, and I can understand council, you know, has got so many drains to look after. It must be a massive drain on the public purse. To do so, but that's still the case. But it's eerily coming back to normal. But unfortunately, we're back in the wet season again. And you know, the last few thunder and light shows we've had here in the last couple of weeks is sort of eerily reminding us that now there's a cyclone brewing up in the Arafura Sea, I believe. Up north. It's not too far. There's a few nervous and anxious people, many of which are still living in, you know, half-finished houses. We've got the age-old problem, John, where, and I've just heard two horror stories here from Machens Beach where some of these storm chasers, as we in our industry call them, they're the contractors that follow the insurance assessors and the insurance companies. They follow them like puppies from Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne, everywhere in Australia but Cairns, and they end up on our doorstep. And we've got a couple of families here that have paid southern contractors money, $5,000 and $10,000, to finish off fences and put veranda posts into concrete, etc. And these people have skipped with the money and they haven't done the work. This is on top of being smashed. Like that poor family that was in today's paper from Holloway's Beach, that's just a common story. And Machens, Holloway's and Yorkies, you've got Lake Placid, you've got a few of those people on the floodplain, Barron Delta floodplain, that have been smashed pretty hard, and we don't need these mongrels that are taking advantage of people that, you know, haven't got much to spend, John, going into Christmas.
Are the police able to track down any of these so-called mongrels?
Well, I think the Master Builders and HIA, or whoever the respective agencies are aware of some of these, because these people have made complaints. But they're out there. They're in our community, and they're trying to take advantage of vulnerable people who are trying to get some sort of normality back into their lives prior to Christmas. You know, this is, well, ominously today is the 1 year anniversary, so the 17th. So this is, yeah, when you look at ground zero and some of these poor people, it's, they haven't, the tears aren't very far from the surface, John. You know, if you talk to some of these people, they've done it really, really tough. Everyone's tried to help their neighbours as much as they can, but the memory of that, even when the rain starts belting down so heavily, it makes some of the residents quite nervous. There are many residents that are not coming back to the beach, that have been here for 30, 40 years. They've left because some of them are quite elderly now, and some of them are trapped in their houses when that flood came.
Yes.
And fortunately, and some of them couldn't even open their doors, John, because and screen doors, security screen doors, interestingly, because of the direction or the current of the water, the first door you open in your house is your wooden door, or your front entrance, or your solid entrance door,
yes,
or your rear door.
Yes.
And then you've got, and that pulls, you pull that door inwards.
Yes.
And then you push your screen door outwards. Mm. Because the water was pushing against the screen door with flotsam, with, you know, bits of debris all through it, they couldn't open their door.
Wow.
So you almost had to smash your way out of the house and kick the screen door out, or one of the windows.
Wow.
We were just so fortunate, John, that the flood came when it did in the middle of the day, because if it hadn't come in the middle of the day, there would have been mass casualties. I'm not being dramatic, because people had no power. We had a shocking Telstra system, which I must admit is still not good. It's terrible. And I don't look at it as something that we just want to ring up in, your family and say, g'day. This is a workplace health and safety issue. And if we're living in an area like this, we need a really good service. Most of the time, most people are just about walk outside and ring up from outside. And it's pretty difficult to do that when it's belting down rain, or you've got a cyclonic wind above you. You've got, other than send a carrier pigeon or a smoke signal, you really can't get good communication out of here when we've got terrible Telstra and telecommunication coverage. And we have been asking that on a community level for years. We've had Warren Inch and others come to community meetings, and one of the experts came out and said, it could be what your house is made out of. We said, well, that's a lot of codswallop, because if you've been here for 60 years, we had better reception on our old CDMA Nokia phones than we've got with all this 5, 6G, whatever G they've got now. We had better reception back in the 80s and the early 90s than what we've got now in the 2020s. So something has been left to slip. And we're so fortunate. And John, one of the things I would like to say is that even though our family's been involved in demolition for years, this has nothing to do with us. Some of the places where these houses flooded, they were slab-on-ground houses, little fibro places. They were workers' cottages. They were for people that are living on a budget. You know, they were battlers, quintessential Aussie battlers.
Yeah.
But some of these people, when the waters went through, the insurance assessors come through, and the scope of work's brief was, I'll just go in and rip all the fibro cement asbestos sheets off the side walls, treat the asbestos accordingly in the fibro cement sheeting, and then we're going to come back in and we're going to, put new plumbing and electrics in it, and we're going to put new fibro cement HardiFlex back on it and put the family back in there. As far as I'm concerned, there should be some of those houses that were flooded, and I'm talking about the water flowed through the windows.
Oh, God.
They flowed through, some of them were 1,200 deep, 1.2 metres, flowing through the house. Now, if you've got old people or young children, they wouldn't have got out of there if it was in the middle of the night with no lights or nothing else.
Exactly.
But my thing, John, is that these people that had insurance on these houses, the insurance companies have said, no, we'll pay you, like that, Brett Hitchens said, we'll pay you to fix what we need to fix, and then we're out of there.
Mm.
Now, this really required Brisbane to get involved, as far as I was concerned, because when I saw what they did for Brisbane flood victims, where they gave them $100,000, they helped them get their house up on stilts, so that's where resilience came from. We're not getting a lot of that because we're not in Brisbane, we're in Cairns.
Yeah.
We're not getting that level of attention, and we're still not getting it. And maybe with the new government, they will be listening very intently to say, well, we need to help these people more than the previous Labor government did, because we just didn't get that attention. And, John, these houses should be demolished. Don't worry about by our company, by anybody. They should be completely demolished. These houses should not be built back on a slab on ground in known flood areas where they were 1,200 deep. They should be completely demolished, and the scope there should be they should be built at a new level, and families should not be allowed to be traumatised in the future, because this will happen again.
Yes.
It's not a matter of, you know, if, it's just a matter of when. In known flood areas where houses have been built, we need to get those people up. Now, we haven't done that. No one's talked about this, John. We haven't done it.
Mm.
We talk about resilience ad nauseum. But the insurers, the government, the councils, we need to get people up. If we knew that the water came up to 1,200 high, well, maybe those houses need to come up to 2 metres. We need a buffer. We can't have a situation where we all knew that this is going to happen again, and we've let it happen. And we're all doing that right now. It's these houses are just getting redecked out when they get a carpenter in there. And the next flood that comes along, the same trauma is going to befall us all again.
Yeah, exactly. I really appreciate this today, Martin. We'll get the message out there as best we can. We'll run this again tomorrow too, and we'll alert local members to what you've had to say. And
people
sure
still need so much assistance, John, and
yes.
They're not asking for a handout all the time. They just want a hand up.
Mm.
They want someone to acknowledge that, you know, if you got they bought a house unknowingly, that the house floods up to... And look, I've been here all my life at Machin's Beach. The biggest flood I saw, we had one in 77 was the big one.
Mm-hmm.
79 was another one, but the 77 was a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing, this was way bigger than the 77 one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen again. That's been 50 years since the last one, but we know it's going to happen again. And to allow these houses to be built, rebuilt back on slab on ground, when the water in this flood went to 1,200 high, and some of the places down on the approach to Machin's, the water was nearly up to their gutters.
Wow.
So, you know, and they're just redecking them out again, and some people are going to move out and sell that on to somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, there has to be an owner's, whether it's council saying it's got a big cross on that house, but obviously the mum and dad are going to lose out on trying to sell their house, and they bought the house not knowing that it was going to flood to that level.
Of course.
So at what point do we draw the line in the sand and say, well, we can't have people living on that spot again unless we go up?
Mm.
Otherwise, we've got to move out, or otherwise there's going to be deaths in the future.
I've got to leave you now, but I really appreciate your contribution today.
Thank you, Martin, for listening.
Thank you. Martin Anton on the line there, a long-term Machin's Beach resident. As he was saying, we're talking about the anniversary today of the actual flood.